Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We are joined by Dr. Harold Rode, a longtime duty expert for the senior officials in the United States Department of Defense and other government agencies as well, on matters involving the Middle East, notably Iran and Turkey, among others. He is deeply knowledgeable, conversant in Farsi and Arabic and Hebrew. He's a man that I think has taught me a lot, that's for sure. He is the author, most recently, of Modern Islamic Warfare, An Ancient Doctrine Marches On, a new print of the Center for Security Policy Press. It's always a delight to have him with us, especially when there's something as momentous to talk about as President Trump's decision to recognize reality for a change, namely to honor and have our embassy in the capital of the State of Israel, Jerusalem. Harold Rode, welcome back. It's good to have a chance to talk with you about that and much more.
Frank, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Good. Well, so Harold, what do you make of what's just been announced by the president in the past 24 hours? And what do people on the ground that you know make of it?
Well, let's focus on a different angle. The news is filled with this right now. What I can contribute is a Muslim view of things. I have a lot of Muslim Palestinian friends, and they are elated by this decision. Now, that sounds a little off, and here's why. It's because they loathe the Palestinian leaders who have been imposed upon them by the United States and previous Israeli governments. These are tyrants. They steal and rob the Palestinians blind, and they want to live under Israeli rule. Why? Because life is much better for them that way. They hate the Palestinian Authority, and anything which makes Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian dictator, look bad and his cohorts around them is a blessing for them. And that is why this strengthens Israel. And therefore, in their minds, they're happy about this. Now, why don't they talk about this in public? Because very few do. It's a very simple reason. You talk against the tyrants there, and you were killed. And to the best of my knowledge, most people want to live. And that's why they are silent.
Harold, let me ask you about this, though, just to play the devil's advocate. You're talking about Arabs, Palestinian Muslims, who are friends of yours. Would that not be sort of by definition atypical of the attitude of most Muslims in that community because they wouldn't have anything to do with a friendship with a Jewish kippah-wearing, Orthodox believer of an infidel faith, as they see it?
Two answers to that. Number one, I've had many conversations with people who are not friends of mine. And when they complain and they argue, the word that they use, what's the problem? A sulta. In Arabic, what is sulta? It means the dictatorship imposed on them by the Americans and by the Israelis. And these aren't friends of mine, but I've heard this over and over again. We were freer under Israeli rule. My personal friends is a different story. You're right. But from my experience, I've heard this over and over again among the Palestinians. But they can't say this because they don't want to die.
Yeah. So, Harold, I want to cover something that I talked about with Noni Darwish a moment ago. Do we reinforce and make much more probable attacks, violent and other kinds of attacks on Jewish communities and individuals, or for that matter, American diplomatic missions and personnel or other targets of value to us if we engage in this kind of, defiance, I guess they would see it, of their dictates about what we do with our embassy and what we do about Jerusalem and what we do more generally with respect to Israel?
Well, by and large, throughout the Muslim world, they respect strength. And they kowtow to strength. That's the power. That is their modus operandi for that's how they stay alive. And in this particular case. Now, there may be a few instances here and there, if that. But let me go back to the so-called experts for the Kuwait war and the Iraq war, where they said, oh, my God, if America invaded Kuwait, pushed Saddam out of Kuwait, or we invaded Iraq, that the entire Muslim world would be up in arms. And guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing.
The so-called Arab street was not occupied at the time. No.
No. Nah. And if the Israelis control things correctly, there shouldn't be many problems.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, will other Arabs elsewhere in the region rally to their side, their cause, the Palestinians? And in my experience, they've generally not got much high regard for the Palestinians. Do you expect them to take to the streets on their behalf at this point?
Let me summarize public versus private. You will see the proverbial, they'll say nice things, their leadership and things like this. But it reminds me of a Muslim friend of mine in Beirut who I once met his mother. And I asked her, what did she think about Israel? And she said, Israel must be destroyed, God forbid. Meaning they understand, please, these are not dumb people.
Somewhat cynical, perhaps, but not stupid, that's for sure.
No, they're definitely not. Well, Frank, one other thing here on this line. How they view the State Department people. You will very often see Muslim diplomats putting down American State Department officials. And to quote the great Bernard Lewis, he invariably describes these conversations as follows. They scream at us, and we say, oh, my God, what do we do? What do we have to do to make it right? And they could, whatever it is, the natural attitude, it seems, of so many American diplomats is to bend over.
Bend over backwards, as it were. So, Harold, that brings us to the peace process, this so-called quest for a two-state solution. The Palestinians are now putting out the narrative that this is the end of the peace process. The United States will have lost its position as a fair and balanced partner for the process and so on. First of all, just a sanity check. Is there a peace process worthy of the name at the moment? And second of all, is this the end of it? Please, God.
Well, your question is a great question. Is there a peace process? There has never been a peace process because the Muslim world, none of the leaders can accept the existence of a non-Muslim state, in this case a Jewish state, on Muslim territory. What is the definition of Muslim territory? Anything which has ever been conquered by Muslims. This land was conquered by Islam in the 630s AD, and therefore is Muslim. Spain has the same problem. It was conquered in 712, and the Muslims lost it in 1492, Andalus. And the result, it's the same thing. No, there has never, and there can't be a peace process without a reformation in Islamic law, of the Islamic Sharia. And I don't see that happening in the near future.
This is very much the thesis that you propound so effectively in your book about buttered Islamic warfare, because it really makes it plain that this is a zero-sum game as they see it. And I guess the best one can hope for is the so-called Hudna, but even that is not likely if they think that they'll get more by being obstreperous and aggressive and violent. Harold, we're going to have to pause here in just a moment. When we come back, I want to broaden the lens a little bit and talk with you about the role that some of the other regional players are undertaking at the moment, notably Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Iran, countries that you have studied closely, lived in some cases, and certainly had a great feeling for. We'll talk about those and the implications for us as well as for our regional allies. That and more with Dr. Harold Rode right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.